to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the Kingdom of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. If I had some artifact that Jesus touched, I mean, if I actually had a piece of wood from the cross or the actual pen that Paul used to write the book of Romans, I have to admit, I would think that's pretty cool. But you know, the Bible never says there's anything cool at all about that stuff. About a piece of wood from the cross or anything like that. But what it does say is cool, what is of great worth from back then, is not a piece of wood from the cross or a thorn out of the crown of thorns or a piece of leather from the scourge. What really is of supreme worth is the actual wounds themselves. Now that, if you've got that, you've got something valuable. If you're at a pawn shop and you find a really good deal on one of the actual rods they used to beat Christ, don't spend your money. There's no real great value in that. But if there's immense value in having that rod applied to your back for the sake of Christ, so that you could bear in your body the wounds of Christ Himself. The highest of honors, because it's a participation in the sufferings of Christ. And any Tom, Dick, and Harry can claim to love Jesus, but only a select few are found worthy to suffer for Jesus and give Him such honor by suffering for Him. So suffering for Christ is a high privilege because it is a way to show His supreme worthiness in a huge way. And beyond that, it's also a high privilege because it's a kind of fellowship with Christ. Not only is it involvement with His work and is a special way of really exalting His name, but thirdly, it's a kind of fellowship with Christ. It brings you into relational closeness and interaction with Jesus that's unique, that you can't get other ways. It's a kind of fellowship that once you've tasted it, you will long to experience it again, no matter what the cost. You will want it again. Paul just longed for it. I mean, that's amazing. With all the unbelievable sufferings Paul went through, being beaten, stoned, abandoned, shipwrecked, pounded on. I mean, and then he mentions beaten with rods, and that seems to be like the worst. All that he went through, you'd think he'd finally get to the point of saying, enough, enough! I need a break! Sick of this! Been beaten up all the time. Had it with, it's not how he felt. When Paul got to talking about what he just craved, what he just really, really wanted, here's what he said, Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings and to become like Him in His death. That's what he wanted. The fellowship with Christ that came from sharing in His sufferings was something he craved. It was right up there with knowing Christ and the power of His resurrection in Paul's list of desires. That's why when you read about the severe persecutions, you often also read about great joy. There's a fellowship with Christ, a fellowship of sharing the sufferings, and that is an involvement, a sharing with Christ so close that it's a delight to the soul of the believer. And you can't know it without experiencing it. That's why when you read about people like Roland Taylor. Roland Taylor was about to be burned at the stake, and when he approached the stake that he was going to be burned on, he kissed it. He kissed the stake. Obadiah Holmes received 90 lashes, turned his back into jelly, and then he turned to the magistrates afterwards and said, "You have struck me with roses." Paul and Silas were singing in the stocks in the prison, singing. Rejoicing. The apostles went out after being flogged, rejoicing. That's how powerful the presence of Christ is. It is awesome. Think about that. The pleasures of this world, they seem so intense to us. You know, the really pleasurable things in this world, they seem just intense pleasure. And yet, what worldly pleasure can compare to this? The most intense pleasure in the world, whatever it is for you, being famous or having millions of screaming fans shouting your name, or being so rich you could never possibly spend all your money, even if you spent as much as you could, having all your favorite things, experiencing some sexual thrill, whatever the most intense pleasure is for you, what good would that be on the day when they're ripping out your flesh with a flogging? What would it do for you to think about your money at that moment? It would do nothing. Nothing. Psalm 36:8. Those who find refuge in the shadow of your wings feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink from your river of delights. We've all experienced little drips and drops of that river of delights to varying degrees, but to those who experience the extremes of persecution for Christ, out of love for Christ, He opens up the floodgates of that river, and it pours out on them, and it creates a joy greater than anything this world could possibly ever produce. Psalm 4:7, You filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. Now, that's as happy as the world ever gets. When their grain and new wine abound, that's talking about when their earthly resources are just abundant. That's the best it gets for them. That's the happiest that you ever get. But the presence of Christ can fill your heart with a greater joy than that. So there's a massive benefit that we receive in this life when we're persecuted. We get the amazing honor of joining Christ in His sufferings. And I mentioned a second ago how just this week I had an experience of this. I want to tell you about this. I was going to save it for next week, but I'll just mention it now. I had a situation where I was mistreated by somebody, and it just made me angry. Just pushed my buttons, and it got me. I had a very sinful response of anger. And I realized that right away. I was like, "Oh man, I got to confess this to the Lord. I have to repent because I'm really ticked off at this guy." And so I confessed. I didn't say anything to the guy. It was an email exchange. But, you know, and it wasn't any of you, don't worry. and so I confessed this to the Lord and asked His forgiveness and tried to think of how I should respond. And one of the things that made me so mad was this guy. What he did cost me some money, and he did it on purpose. And anyway. So I thought, you know what? I got such a bad attitude. I need to respond. You know, Jesus said if someone slaps you on the cheek, you turn the other cheek. I'm going to give him a kind response, and I'm going to send him a gift, a large financial gift, just for the sake of my own heart, to express love to this guy. And so I did. I sent it to him, and he got it. And when he arrived in the mail, he sent me this blistering email, just ripping me up and down, and telling me I had bad motives, and I'm loving him like the world loves, and all kinds of stuff. And it made me mad again. Even matter. I had to confess and repent before the Lord, and I was getting discouraged because of my, you know, just this, I usually don't have a problem with anger most of the time, and I realized, man, I got this sin in my heart, I got this selfishness, I got this pride, and I was just kind of discouraged about it. But then I went back to my study, and I realized, if the things that I'm going to preach this Sunday are true, then this is persecution for the sake of Christ. I mean, it's little, yeah, but still, it counts. And I'm supposed to rejoice and be glad when that happens. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is my reward in heaven. Because in the same way they persecuted the prophets, and Jesus is piling it on, the prophets? I mean, come on, Jesus. That just seems ridiculous to put me in that category. I'm struggling with so much sin. I mean, it's like Jesus has to look through all the forest of my sins, and He finds this little clearing of righteousness and said, I'm going to reward you heavily for that. You're like the prophets. I'm like, that's crazy. This is just such an amazing promise. I think, like I said before, we err when we take our little persecutions and we pass them aside because we're not in prison. Because it makes us fail to apply this and fail to rejoice and be glad. It's greater than reward.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowd-funded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.